Okay, so I quickly want to share with you what the Lord has put on my heart, and the word that came really confirmed it. I'm not going to be long. I just want to share a few things about Pentecost and about the love of God, the love of the Father. And how do we pursue a place of open heavens, and how God gives us in the scriptures keys for how to have an open heavens. Open heavens meaning His presence in our midst. It was so cute. My little boy, he's 3.5. And yesterday, Sonika was sitting reading the Bible at her desk, and Vian was sitting on my desk, or on my chair, and she put on a Jesus Culture DVD. And at some stage, the people were all lifting their hands, and they're singing, "Holy, holy." So my 3.5-year-old was, "Holy, holy." That was beautiful. That was so beautiful. Now he's going to be a big worshiper one day. Already now, going for it. But God wants each of us to connect with Him and to know Him. And so I want to share just a few things about that. Pentecost, what is the idea about Pentecost? Pentecost was 50 days after Jesus was crucified. Then about 7 times 7 Saturdays on, and then Sunday, one day on. That Sunday, the first day of the week, that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples. So it was a festival that represented harvest, the beginning of harvest time, the first buds of harvest time. And the amazing thing is, there was about 120, about 120 people in that upper room. And then God came down by the power of His Spirit, and over 3,000 people came to God that day. 3,000 men turned to God. Now, you know it must be God if it's the men turning to Jesus. We men are a little bit more stubborn. No? Usually the ladies are a little bit more open in general. It's a generalization, but we often see that. And so God moved very powerfully. And I just want to read this verse, Acts 2. And there's this invitation that God brings to us. But it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. It was like fire sitting on each one's head. That's why we sing about fire come down, fire fall down. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. So imagine this for a moment. Say we are sort of 120, yeah? And suddenly God moves. And suddenly, say, 5,000 plus men just suddenly storm in here. Or drive. They jump into their cars. They hear this noise. And they want to know what's happening. So they all jump in their cars. And they drive from all over. Imagine 5,000 plus people. I mean, because then 3,000, but there were other guys mocking. So you get a few mockers, and then you say, you're just drunk. They said, you're just filled with new wine. That's what some of the guys said. You're just drunk. Because the guys, it just was weird. I mean, they've never experienced anything like this, never seen anything like this. It was God. Open heavens. God was there, touching lives. And all of these men were speaking in different languages, earthly, human languages, and possibly heavenly as well. And 3,000 men, it says, were cut to the heart and turned to God. That is so powerful. I think it would be chaos. Just imagine that. Yo, so 3,000 men, wives, kids, you've all added all up. It could be quite a few people that have just come to Jesus. All because of God pitched. God moved. And I've shared this with the guys in church, but the Lord has asked me a few times, but the specific instance in the past, He's asked me, will you build the church man's way or my way? Man's way is, there are lots of different wonderful principles, and it's all good, but it doesn't produce this. It doesn't produce Acts 2. It doesn't produce this life change, 3,000 men turning to God. And so we are, as a church, pursuing more of God. We're saying, God, we want more of you. And what I felt God share with me is that Pentecost was never meant to be a once-off event. It was never meant to be a once-off event. Even in Acts chapter 4, we already see another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And even an earthquake, the whole place was shaken with God just pitching. And so you find two groups of people often. You find those who read the scripture and they tell us why this is not relevant to us anymore. They tell us why this is for other people or why this is not happening anymore today. And then you have those who are filled with faith and they read an invitation. They read the scripture and they see it as an invitation. If it's in the word of God, well, it's an invitation for me, for the same and more. So how do you read the scriptures? Do you see it as this is for me? This is a promise for me. This is a promise for us. Or do you read it as a nice historical event of 2,000 years ago and not relevant anymore? It's relevant. It's for us. And so these 120 people, it says there was 500 that saw Jesus ascend into heaven. So imagine this for a moment. Jesus was dead, crucified in the grave. He rises from the dead. And then a while later, he, in front of 500 people, the eyewitness account say 500 people were there, and they saw Jesus ascend into heaven. But it says some doubted. They saw it with their physical eyes, but they still doubted. You see, faith is not dependent on sight. Faith is dependent on something on the inside, an internal reality that God wants to establish in us. His word is true, even if I experience it or not. His word is true. And so many people don't experience the things in Scripture, and so they make a new theology around it that explains why they're not experiencing it and never will. And I'm saying, no, God, I want what is in your word. We want more of you. Anyway, so 120, 380 were gone, 120 left. Some of them maybe came to the first day's prayer meeting. Okay, come on. Nothing happening. Come on. What are we waiting for? We don't even know what we're waiting for. We just know Jesus said, go and wait in the upper room until something happens. And so our first day, a few leave, and then another few leave. But the end, say 10 days later, it was still 120 waiting. And then suddenly, it says, an outpouring of God's Spirit, life change. You see, faith will always be tested. We need to keep on until breakthrough. This is the test. This is the test. Faith will be tested, and you need to pray until breakthrough. You need to keep at it until you break through. Maybe you're battling in your relationship with God. Maybe you are struggling with a multitude of things, with your identity. Maybe you're battling in your life. There are different areas. Bring it to God. I'm not saying it's going to be sorted in a moment, but I'm saying if you bring it to God and you keep on bringing it to God, at some stage breakthrough will come. Because that's the God we serve. He's faithful. He is faithful. He's good. And so Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said in John chapter 11, beautiful passage, Lazarus was dead, a friend of Jesus. He was dead for 3 days in the grave. Everybody's telling him, Jesus is stinking. Don't move the big rock, the stone in front of the grave, in front of the tomb. He's stinky, okay? So don't go there. And then Jesus speaks to Mary or Martha, and he says, so Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And so sometimes we think about the glory of God, and we think of something far off. But Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, the defining factor is faith, trust. If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, now this is beautiful. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Imagine that. Imagine having a relationship with God where you say, God, I know you're going to hear me now. I'm going to pray and I know you're hearing me. such confidence because he was the Son of God. Now it says, and now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. We had a bit of an experience Thursday evening like that. We're speaking, praying for people to be healed. That's real Christianity when you're trusting God for a miracle. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. And people were blessed and excited. I mean, he raised Jesus Christ. Eyewitness accounts, not fairy tale, not nice story. Eyewitness account. Jesus raised somebody from the dead after 3 days dead. And you would think people would be excited about this. Some were. The religious people then said, we're going to kill him. Interesting response. Why do you want to kill a man that just raised the dead? Because we don't like it. It makes us uncomfortable. Everybody's too excited about this. We even want people to be excited about our stuff. And you often find that when it comes to the supernatural and the miraculous, that there's this division, not amongst believers, Christians and non-Christians, Christians and Christians, believers and in a sense those who do not believe, do not want to receive the truth of God. So there's always this challenge. But Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. If you would believe. Now, where did Jesus get this confidence where he prayed, say, Father, I always know you hear me. You always hear me. I want to share this with you. And this is about the Father's love for us. Matthew 3, verse 16 to 17. Jesus at this stage was living for 30 years. There's nothing in the Word of God in the Bible that says that he did any miracle. So at that point, he was for 30 years living as a normal man. Normal man. And then it says, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the waters. John the Baptist baptized him. Immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. The heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. So for 30 years, no miracles. And then the Spirit of God descended upon the Son of God. And then a voice comes from heaven. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is very profound. Where did Jesus' confidence come from? The power for what he did came from the Holy Spirit, but his confidence came from this. The Father speaking this of him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's interesting if you've watched the movie Courageous and read some stats about it. They just say that when the dad isn't there, you know, most guys in prison, I've heard the story, they on Mother's Day, they get in prison, Mother's Day is a big event. I mean, there's every man writes a card to mama, you know. And then the guys, it was a ministry, and then they said they had Father's Day, and they encouraged guys to write cards. They said nobody wrote a card to dad. Because they didn't know dad or didn't like dad, didn't have a relationship with dad. But those are the men that find themselves in prison. But the effect of not having a dad, or not having a dad that affirmed you, or not having a dad that encouraged you, I believe it's this massive devastation in many of our lives. Insecurities. My parents divorced when I was in standard 4. Grade 6 for those young ones. And then, and I went through a very bad time in my life from standard 4 to about 7. Either I'm going to go this way, I'm going to fall into some serious bad stuff, drugs. I was hanging out with the wrong crowd. My grades went like that. I was going down. And then, by the grace of God, my dad married again. And he moved back. We were living in Paarl, and he was living in Cape Town. And then he moved back to Paarl, and he lived about one block away from us, where I was living. My sister and I were living with our mom. And it was so amazing, because then I could see my dad again. I would walk over, eat a little bit of my mom's food. It wasn't all so great. And then I'd go over to dad's place, where the food was great, okay? And so I would always say, bye, mom, cheers. And then I'd walk to dad's place. But that was a defining moment in my life, because I remember my dad's a wonderful man, warm, affectionate, loving guy. And I remember us sitting, say, Saturday evenings, Friday evenings, say, from 6 till 10, 11 at night, just me and him next to the braai, and we would just talk. And so I was at this defining, standing at 6, standing at 7, those times, a very defining time of your life. And I just remember, suddenly I was here with a man that communicated to me, I'm valuable, I'm somebody, and I'm special. And then things started to shift back in my life. I did not come to the Lord yet, but my grades went up. I started to do sport, and everything went better. But something happened there. It's the power of Dad. The power of Dad affirming. We are wired. We are desperate for that affirmation. You want to acknowledge it or not, we need it. It is defining for our identity. And I went through a challenging time. Say about 10 years ago in the ministry, some challenging stuff happened, and it's like I lost my confidence. I lost my confidence. I remember sitting in meetings with other guys or whatever, and I would just not be able to speak. I can't speak. I don't know what to say. I'm like shaking. I am so insecure of the things that has happened and the mistakes and the bad stuff has happened or whatever. And then God came and he started to minister to my heart. You see, if our earthly dad has such power on us to affirm us, to strengthen us in our identity, how much more when your heavenly father comes? How much more when Jesus didn't have a dad, but his heavenly father said, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And we had such a special time at the men's camp last week, Saturday evening. There was just a time where we felt the Father God came to affirm the men as sons. And you could feel the presence of God, but different. It was like, it was not, you know, often it's easy to speak to Jesus, you know, because he's like more like buddy. He's like more like, you know, dad, you know, not dad. He's like, more buddy, we can like a chat to Jesus, Holy Spirit, yay, that's lekker as well. But Dad, you know, some battle to connect with Dad. And I realize how we need Father God to come and affirm us. We need Father God to come and settle us. You see, there's so many of us that just, we so strive to impress God. We so try to do good stuff. We so try to be a good Christian. We so try. And that's all because we have this orphan spirit. We have not been affirmed by the Father. Just saying, this is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. As it was the word brought here, there's nothing like the love of God. Nothing like the love of God. You see, when you want to obey God, when you desire the kingdom to come, when you are trusting God for this world out there to change, do you know what will happen? You will get opposition. You will get people who just say, I don't like you. And what's going to happen then? Then we all freak out. Unless Father God has said, I'm with you. I love you, but you know, it's not just theoretical. You know it. You have experienced the love of the Father on the inside. It just anchors your identity in eternity. Just anchored, secure. And I've experienced this over my life, even as a Christian, going from that insecurity to a place where it only really matters what God says, not what people say. Only matters if my God is with me and I'm in his will and my dad. Let's do it. Let's go, friend. We need the Father the Father's affirmation, the Father's love. It is so powerful. The New Living Translation, it's not on the screen, but it says, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." Great joy. Imagine you bringing great joy to God Almighty. He sings a love song over us. He celebrates us. But you need to receive, embrace that truth, and it will set you free. It will bring a confidence that you've never experienced before. It calls you to settle. You see, there's two problems. Many of us battle to know that God loves us. And secondly, many of us battle to love ourselves. Many believe, yes, God loves me, but we battle to love ourselves, to celebrate ourselves, to believe that we are worthy, valuable. It's like God comes and He wants to do this awesome things in your life. He wants to do, but who are you? Who are you? That battle sometimes happens. Can we read the scriptures and say, "This is for me. I am His son. I am the son of the Father. He's for me. He loves me. He celebrates me. He celebrates you." It's completely life-changing. Probably the most significant thing that's changed in my life over the last 10 years is just my identity, my security has been more established in God. There was a time where I was so desiring, craving my leader's affirmation. I just so wanted to see that they believe in me. I just so wanted to know that they feel I am of God and anointed and have a calling on my life. And it didn't really come until I got over it. And just know God affirms me. And now they are starting to say all the other stuff that I was always wanting to hear. But now it doesn't affect me anymore. Because I'm anchored in heaven. And God wants you to be anchored. Anchored. Where you can step into any room, at any place. You won't be intimidated with president this or super CEO that. Because you know your dad and your dad loves you. Your heavenly Father. It's completely life-changing. This is what God wants. Romans 8 verse 15. It speaks of this battle between a spirit of slavery and a spirit of sonship. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You know where fear comes from? It's this thing. Insecurity in our relationship in God. Not sure, is God going to come through for me? Is this going to work out? When I step out, will God catch me? Not secure. The spirit of slavery will cause us to fall into fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. This is not gender. It's like a daughter can be a son. It's an identity. It's a position as the firstborn son. But you can replace it also as daughter. By whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So God imparts to us His Holy Spirit. It's called the spirit of sonship or childhood. It's like becoming a child of God. And it comes and sits in the inside of you and it just wants to call out, Daddy, I know you love me. I know you're for me. I know you celebrate me. That spirit from the inside. No longer an orphan, no longer just full of fear. You see, fear and this spirit of slavery, it closes the heavenlies because you lose your confidence. And the heavenlies just close down. Fear blocks the presence of God. But that boldness, that confidence, that sonship, daughterhood thing, it just causes the heavenlies to open. It just causes the heavenlies to open. Wherever you go, you know you're going to have open heavens. Wherever you go, you know God's with you. It is foundational for every part of our lives. So these two things, they battle against one another. The one you're always waiting for affirmation from people. You're always waiting to say somebody to tell you you're good or you're nice. Or you're always waiting for that affirmation, always longing for that affirmation. But a person cannot fulfill that longing. Only the Father can. Only the Father can. And then it says there, by whom we cry, Abba Father, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are children of God. There's like this knowing. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. A son or a daughter knows I am loved. A son or a daughter knows I am secure. A son or a daughter knows that all the resources of heaven has been made available to me as a son of the King of Kings. We are royalty. We are valuable. We are special. That's all the scriptures say. You are the apple of God's eye. That is God's heart. The spirit of sonship. The amplified version says, the spirit producing sonship. And so you need to welcome in the Holy Spirit to come and produce the spirit of sonship. For a son, the heavenlies are always open. For a son, for a daughter of God, the heavenlies are always open. There's always this connection with the Father, with God. It's like Jesus praying, saying, Father, there's a dead man in that tomb. He's dead. 4 days, dead. He's stinky. But I know you hear me. Always. Because I am your son. And you have said, I am your father. Lazarus, come forth. And so all of heaven backed his words. Not as the Son of God in the sense of God, as a man filled with the Holy Spirit and the spirit of sonship. That is where Jesus received his power. An inheritance. And then just want to end off with this. Matthew 4. So now you'll think after Jesus, he was baptized. He received the Holy Spirit as a dove that moved upon him. And then you see, you think, here comes the miracles, right? Here comes Jesus walking on water. Here comes raising the dead. No. Here comes face to face with the devil. Interesting enough. And so the Lord spoke to me Friday morning after Thursday evening, after the school of the supernatural. Friday morning, I woke up with this word in my heart. God said, every word will be tested. Every word will be tested. Every promise you have will be tested. You get the word, you get the promise, you receive, God says. And now what? Test. Your resolve will be tested. Your focus will be tested. Life will come. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, with Sonica, she has what's called, I don't know what's in English, psoriasis. Psoriasis. It's a skin disease. And she, when we were dating about 12, 13 years ago, started to date, she had it all over her body. I mean, it looked horrific. Her legs and everything. I mean, excuse me, Liffy. Yammer. But I was considering now dating this girl. And it really was all over her legs and body and so forth. And so we prayed and trusted. But I had to face this thing. Will I marry this girl if this never changes, you know? And I said, yes, Lord, I will marry her. I love her. I want to. This is your will. And thank you. And and she received the word at that stage, the word of Naaman that was... He had a leprosy on his skin, and he was told by the prophet to be baptized 7 times. And so she received sort of that word. And so me and another guy, we went into this dam in the middle of the night, somewhere up there in Stellenbosch Hills, and we baptized her 7 times. Because we were trusting God for a miracle, and we're just going to walk the road. And it didn't change immediately. I mean, look, it was like, oh, come on, gone now. But looking back, it did disappear. And for the last 13 years, it's never been like that again. She had a little bit here and a little bit there, but not at all like it was back then. I really believe it was a miracle. And now the last month or two, we are trusting the Lord for healing. 2 weeks ago, it's just spreading all over her body. Now I'm thinking, God, we're trusting you for healing. What is this? And I just feel God is saying, every word will be tested. Every word will be tested. Usually when you get a promise from God, the opposite happens. For a time, until you press in and you keep on until the breakthrough comes. Every word will be tested. Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted or tested by the devil. Just after he has experienced the power of God and the affirmation of the Father, the test comes. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by the opinions of man. Man shall not live by what we see with our physical eyes. Man shall not live by our circumstances. Man shall not live by good or bad. Man shall live by the word of God. And so I want to encourage you this day to receive this resolve. I live by the word. I live by the promises of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of the King. That is God's heart. For each of us, every word will be tested. And out of the ear comes the challenge. Your foundation. What's your foundation? Is God good? Because it will be tasted. When something bad happens, what is your response? God, you're doing this to me again. No. God, I don't have a clue what's going on, but I know you're good. I know you're good. I know you're good. All hell can break loose, but I know you're good. Everything can come against me, but I know you're good. That's called faith. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You will not be a world changer. You will not change society. You will not affect the world around you as long as you live by the opinions of man and remain insecure until God comes. And then the last verse here, Luke 4:13-14. After he's been tempted and tested, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So the temptation will come again. Testing will come again. That's part of life. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit after he overcame the test. And the miracles began. When he went through until breakthrough, he overcame the tests. And then he started to see the kingdom come. So I want to encourage us, whatever you're going through, know that God is good. Know that he loves you. Know that he is for you. And as you keep on trusting him, keep on holding the word before you, you will see that breakthrough. Whatever you're trusting God for. Some of us just want to be filled with the Spirit. We just want to know that God loves us. We want to feel that God loves us. Don't want it to be a theory. God doesn't want just theory. He wants you to know it. The Spirit of sonship. The Spirit of being a daughter of the Most High God. Hallelujah. The worship team can join us. I just want us to pray for a few people here this morning. I'm really trusting that God would come and establish this in us. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Well pleased. Well pleased. Just want to pray for us and then just give an opportunity for us to respond. Father, we thank you. Abba Father, our Heavenly Father. God, you know us so well. You know the things we're battling through. You know the stuff we're struggling with. You know every obstacle standing in our way, God. You know every mountain that we are facing in our personal lives. And so, Father, we pray that we would receive a spirit of sonship. God, I pray that we would come to know the love of the Father, singing a song, a celebration over our lives. God, we declare this morning that you are good, even when we don't understand. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thank you, Father, that you come and affirm your people. Establish your children with that spirit of sonship, that we can stand in the gates of hell and know God is with me. We can stand in the midst of the storm and say, "Be still," in Jesus' name. God, that we can face death, face sickness, face disease, and not be intimidated, because we know our God is with us. Our God is good. Our God is good. Please stand with me. We're just going to say one song. Just, I don't know exactly what song. It's just, I just feel that as we just going to lift up the name of Jesus now, that we're going to receive that spirit of sonship. It is by the Holy Spirit. It is not something a man can give you. It comes from God. So just close your eyes. Just wait upon the presence of God. I can feel God is here. God, we worship you. You are holy. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy because you're the author of life. You reign on high. We welcome you here, God the Father. We welcome a new confidence in this house. We welcome a new security in God. We welcome the Father who loves the world. We welcome. Come and affirm your children, Lord. If you're here this morning and maybe you don't have a relationship with God, just now, just speak to him and just say, "Lord, I give my life to you. I want to know this love. I want to know this Father." Just speak to him under your breath and say, "God, I give my life to you." Hallelujah. Oh, how he loves. Father, we just silence every lie of the enemy, Lord. Every lie about our identity, every lie about how much you love us, God. We silence the lies, God. We declare the darkness shall leave. The spirit of slavery shall leave. And the spirit of sonship, of adoption, of being a son or a daughter, will just settle. Settle in our hearts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just pray the following prayer, the declaration. Just say, Father God, I renounce the spirit of slavery that leads to fear. And I embrace and receive the spirit of sonship, of adoption, that cries out, Abba Father. I am loved by the Father, and I welcome that love into my heart and mind. Anchor me, Lord, in eternity, in you. In Jesus' name. Just receive. Affirmation of the Father. How he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Loves us. God is saying that as we come to know His love, and as we come to know Him as His sons or daughters, I really feel God is saying the heavens will just open up over us. Wherever we go, I just see the heavenlies open up. Yes, Lord, we want God. We want you. We don't want dead religion. We don't want empty religion. We want you. And so we welcome, God, your affirmation. We welcome the spirit of sonship into this house. In Jesus' mighty name. Yeah.
just got a word that I want to share. It says, it's from 2 Corinthians 2:14, 15. It says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. This is where it's important. It says, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing.
Thank you, Lord. You always lead us in triumph. Let's just wait upon the Lord for a moment and so feel the presence of God in this place. God is going to take us as a church to another level, another level of authority. Really, the Father part of God will be imparted to us. That Father heart. I feel God is saying that He will. Many of us will be fathers, not just in the natural, but in the spirit. We'll be fathering, mentoring, loving people with a boldness and a confidence that comes from heaven. And I feel God is wanting to bring an apostolic authority into our midst that can truly speak to places, speak to cities, speak to nations with that same confidence Jesus had. Father, I thank You that You always hear us. You always hear Your sons, Your daughters. Thank You for that boldness, God. May our prayers change. May we know that You hear. God, we worship You. And we receive that new confidence, God, that boldness in You. Just receive from the Lord right now a new confidence that can speak to mountains, and mountains shall move. Speak to the sick and they will be healed. The dead raised. Because Jesus lives in us. God, we worship You. Hallelujah. Can I ask that we just take the hand of the person next to you? Just for a minute or so. I just want you to pray. Pray for the person next to you. Pray for them as you're standing. Just pray, God, come and encourage them. Come and strengthen them. God, come and establish their identity in You. Worship You, God. In Jesus' name. Come, Father. Come, Father. Come and set Your people free. Break every chain of insecurity. Break every chain of insecurity. Break every chain of intimidation. Break every chain of timidity. Break it, God, now in Jesus' name. And impart a boldness, a confidence that flows from the throne of heaven, from Dad, our Father. In Jesus' name, loose your spirit of sonship, God. Loose it, God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Be blessed in Jesus' name. I just see cracked foundations being mended in Jesus' name. Broken foundations being restored. God is good. God is good. God is good. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. This is good, eh? This is good. This is what church should be like. God coming to minister to us.